B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Reacting to the latest scandal in a local Catholic church, an outraged New Orleans Archbishop, Gregory Amond, said Friday that he had actually burned the altar.
Yeah.
Where a Pearl River priest was accused of taping himself engaging in group sex with two dominatrixes while an attorney for the women blasted authorities' decision to arrest the trio. I'm going to give you the whole story here, okay?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
In a video message posted on the Archdiocese website, Amond called the Reverend Travis Clark demonic and deplorable for hosting the two women for a romp in St. Peter's and Paul Catholic Church on the night of September 30th. Police arrested Clark, along with Mindy Dixon and Melissa Chang, an obscenity charge after an unidentified passerby saw the alleged threesome, used a cell phone to record video of the encounter, and then called the authorities. Now, attorney Bradley Phillips, who represents the two dominatrixes, Dixon and Chen, said the arrest was appalling. He argued that his client's conduct was both private and legal because it did not take place in public. He said the only pertinent question, he said, is if it took place in view of the public. Clearly, that is not the case. Now, neither Clark nor an attorney for him have spoken publicly about the alleged tryst, which involved the two women dressed in high heels and corsets performing sexual acts on a half-naked Clark as they recorded it all with a phone and tripod-mounted camera.
That's a lot to juggle.
Confiscating plastic sex toys, stage lights, and the two recording devices from within the church as evidence, officers booked all three with obscenity. Among the charges, definitions in Louisiana law, or having sex in, quote, any place open to the public view. Police filed that the altar could be seen through the church's windows and glass doors.
Uh-huh.
So the arrests have created another scandal for the Archdiocese of New Orleans after a slew of recent disclosures about alleged child sexual abuse by clergy and the Archdiocese's own filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceedings. So this dog piles on top of that. Until a decision comes from the DA's office on whether to file charges, investigators will be trying to fill the holes concerning what they know about how Chang and Dixon connected with Clark, whose 2013 ordination followed a vow of celibacy, of course. According to posts on their social media profiles and websites, Chang and Dixon create adult films that they post on web platforms that users pay to access. Dixon's professional social media profiles describe her as a satanic dominatrix. The day before her arrest, she published a message announcing that she was headed to New Orleans with Chang to defile a house of God. Meanwhile, an account associated with Chang expressed excitement about a secret project as well as a trip to New Orleans to film with a new friend. And the night ended, apparently, that particular night, with an unidentified resident walking by the church. The person observed and had video of Chang and Dixon using plastic sex toys while engaging in intercourse with Clark, who was still partially wearing his priestly attire.
Oh, boy.
After police showed up and entered the church, the women said that they were recording role play with Clark's permission.
What are you folks doing?
The three have since bonded out of jail. And the head of the Archdiocese, the Archbishop, has burned the altar that was from the church.
I mean,
it was, wow.
Demonic sex acts on the altar. You can kind of see why he went that way.
Oh, he burned it. Yep.
We're just going to burn it.
We're going to do a follow-up on this story eventually, I'm certain of it. Well, a woman charged with sexually assaulting her fiancé with a screwdriver has been approved for supervised release. Police said Precious Bailey sexually assaulted her fiancé in 2018 after claiming that tarot cards told her that he had sexually assaulted her child.
The tarot cards told her?
That's exactly it. She admitted to beating her fiancé until he blacked out before sexually assaulting him with a screwdriver.
Wow. Okay, so what point of entry?
I can guess, but yeah, I don't have details on it.
Neither is very good, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, a judge approved a conditional release on Thursday, so she's out for now. Maybe we'll have a follow-up on that one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
A Southwest Airlines passenger said she was prevented from boarding her flight because her breasts were deemed lewd, obscene, and offensive, forcing the captain to actually lend her his T-shirt. Chicago resident Kayla Eubanks took to Twitter to document her dispute with ground staffers who said that her low-cut black halter top was too revealing. Eubanks tweeted along with a bathroom selfie showing her ensemble, which included a long red skirt. She wrote, I really want to know why Southwest Air is policing my clothes like this.
Show us your boobs!
She said, how will my shirt impact my flight for myself, the other passengers, or even the pilot? Y'all have a dress code for customers who pay to get on a plane. It's the constant policing of women's bodies for me, she said. It's almost like a bikini top, what she's wearing.
It's sort of like evening club wear, but it's not outlandish.
In another post, she shared video that she took of an employee searching for Southwest's dress code policy just minutes before departure time, saying the staffer, quote, practically did cartwheels to ensure that I wouldn't get on this plane, y'all. I was held at the gate for 30 minutes because of my shirt. If it's there, why can't y'all find it? She asked the employee about the policy. It's there, why don't y'all know it?
Y'all.
She then recorded the captain. I thought this was interesting. The captain came out of the bathroom at the gate, walked over to her after being summoned by the employee, and he says to her, they're hating on you because you're looking good. Is that right? So he's trying to smooth it over.
Right, yeah.
And he said, if they're like, hey, the rule says you have to cover up. Do you have something? He asks, clearly uneasy about the conversation. Do you have a shirt or do you want me to give you one of mine? Eubanks replies that she wants to see the policy first and as the captain walks off to try to resolve the matter, she says, I have to leave my boobs at home? Obviously not, as she chuckles. The captain of the flight, she wrote, loaned me his shirt so that I could board, having been removed from the flight and the flight being delayed. I eventually took it off, only to be told that I would have to speak with the supervisor upon landing, she wrote in the tweet. And
then the supervisor said she had some tiggle bitties.
She was wearing a boys' summer baseball T-shirt. A Southwest spokesperson said they had reached out to her directly to apologize for her experience and provided a refund for her fare as a gesture of goodwill. But the rep added an email regarding our policies. Each situation is very different, and our employees are responsible for following our contract of carriage available on our website. According to the material posted online, the company, quote, may in its sole discretion refuse to transport or may remove from an aircraft at any point a passenger engages in lewd, obscene, or patently offensive behavior, including wearing clothes that are lewd, obscene, or patently offensive. So it's their discretion.
Yeah, okay. It's in posted the language, there.
So
it's on the edge, but it's, again, it would be like something you would routinely see in a nightclub,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So, anyhow.
I don't know. I'm not a pilot, though.
So they are giving her a free fare for that.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
Well, it started as a snake bite that could have been a mistake for a freckle, but it turned into a helicopter ride to a Flagstaff hospital and then a flight to a Phoenix ICU, all because of the anti-venom. She believes it's from her allergy to horses, though. It was Allison Redmond's first time in the Grand Canyon, six days backpacking, her dad and eight brothers. They stopped at Thunder River. She said she felt something on her toe. It said it felt like something going in and out. First, we thought it might have been a stinger from a bee or a wasp. A night of sleep and swelling happened. Redmond was flown out of the Grand Canyon. Paramedics convinced that it was a snake bite. Well, it was. So her problems got worse when she said she was given a higher dose of anti-venom. She said, I looked at the nurse and said, something is wrong. And because they were wearing a mask, you could see her eyes got huge.
I think you made a mistake.
Well, here's the deal. All antivenoms, and I didn't know this, are made from antibodies from animals, and there are several different types. Redmond took an antivenom that was created from a horse, which is what she is allergic to. And the doctor on call said this is so rare because all hospital-use antivenoms usually don't have a trace of the animal that it came from. Redmond was rushed to Phoenix after she went into anaphylactic shock. And it could have been deadly. She recovered in 3 days after she said she received a different anti-venom. This one came from a sheep. And
it's going through the whole barn.
Yeah, the doctor said I can be around horses and not go into shock. It could be a happy coincidence. So, yeah, it was the fact that it was taken from a horse and she was allergic to it. But, of course, they had you know, a snake. It was a rattlesnake.
So the lesson, don't go outside.
Don't go outside. Yeah. Don't get bitten by a snake. Don't use horse infection, horse used anti-venom, and you'll be okay.
You'll be fine.
All right, that's the only story you have time to get to, because sure enough, right on time, our guest is ready to go. So we only have one bizarre file story. I'm sorry. You want to do one more?
Well, I paused it, so I didn't stop it. So the music is, if I hit this button, it's still there.
Right. And there it is. We can go back to one.
All right.
How about that?
Because it's like it never happened.
Some other good things. And then we're going to have to take a break. There you go. We're back. So a Loyola University graduate took part of her bar exam while in labor, gave birth, and then finished her test.
Wow, man.
Brianna Hill knew that she'd be pregnant while taking her final test toward becoming a lawyer, but when the coronavirus pandemic changed the timing, she suddenly realized how pregnant she would be. She said it was supposed to be in July. That date was moved to October. She knew she'd be taking the test remotely in her home, but that there would be technology used to watch test takers and to keep them from cheating. So on Monday, a very pregnant Hill sat down at her desk to take the first part of the exam. She says, I was ready to go, confident. But minutes into her test, she went into labor. She said, I didn't think about it because I was in the test. During a break, she made a few important calls and then went back to finish the rest of her exam. She said, I cleaned myself up, called my husband, and the test kept going. She completed the first portion of the exam and several hours later gave birth to a healthy son, Cassius Phillip.
Wow.
But there was still another day of testing to go, so she determined to finish what she started. She is still in the hospital, spent the following day taking the final leg of the exam. She said, I woke up, they set up a spare room for me, they put a do not enter sign on there, she breastfed during the breaks, and eventually completed her exam.
So did everybody in the class see her vagina?
I don't know about that. No, they didn't see the delivery.
Oh, okay.
Hill said she experienced preterm labor while studying for her test, which helped prepare her for what she would ultimately go through. She doesn't know if she passed yet. She is set to find out in early December. So she soldiered through it all.
That's Hill, I have some news for you. You failed.
That's
what?
Unbelievable. And then one other story, and then we'll wrap it up. The owner of Bumpy's Polar Freeze in Schenectady, New York, has been arrested for allegedly following an altercation for, I'm sorry, arrested for assault following an altercation with a private investigator. Police said that David Elmendorf was arrested after the victim, Ronald Hilton, received a puncture wound to the back of his head area from a pen. Hilton says he was serving legal documents to Elmendorf when Elmendorf assaulted him, stabbing him once in the back of the neck with a ballpoint pen. So he didn't want to get served these papers.
Yeah, so he stabbed him.
And he took the pen and stabbed him.
Wow.
Elmendorf was previously arrested after allegedly threatening to shoot protesters that had gathered around his ice cream shop. Officers say a pellet gun was found in his vehicle when he was detained shortly after the incident. The protesters had initially targeted Bumpy's after allegations emerged that he wasn't paying his employees and had been using the N-word in a number of text messages. So he stabbed the dude.
Sounds like a prince.
Yeah, stabbed the dude with a ballpoint pen. He killed the man with a pencil.
Baba Yaga.
And then one last story. I'll do one more.
All right.
Because it involves a rattlesnake like the other story did. But a man who was wanted in Idaho called police because he was bitten by a rattlesnake. Ryan Paul Henry had gotten lost in Hell's Canyon, tried to find his way out when he came upon a rattlesnake. Baker County Sheriff's Office dispatch received a call from an adult male stating that he was lost in the Hell's Canyon area, was on foot, and had been bitten by a rattlesnake. Henry
got bit by a rattlesnake.
Henry gave officials a fake name. He was later identified as Henry, who had a felony arrest warrant out for him in Idaho. Search and rescue team was preparing to respond. The decision to cancel the search and rescue mission was made.
Let him die.
Based on the discovery of the warrant and the suspect's history with law enforcement.
He got bitted. So bitted.
The sheriff, six deputies, and U.S. Forest Services officials responded to the area, and two boats were launched in the Snake River to search for Henry. Shortly after 10 p.m., the officials found Henry, and after being assessed by paramedics, he was arrested without incident and taken to the county jail. And there you go.
There you go.
That's what I have in the
Bizarre File. Alan Alden, more Bizarre File.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.